They're like this every day of the year, I guarantee it.
It's the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
I'm selfish. I'm a little forgetful. I'm rude.
And Sherry.
Telling you how you are is my second favorite thing in the world.
And now, from the Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, gosh. You know, I just I want to kick off by thanking the universe for such an eventful and action-packed 2024 at my house, because it's sure been something. Kevin's doing really well recovering from his surgery. The refrigerator that died has been replaced, and the new one is keeping food cold as it's supposed to. Our health insurance has declined to cover some important medical tests for my husband, but that's okay because I'm going to let your wife smell him to see if she detects anything that could be wrong with him, Bob.
She has
Mary's
quite
so
a
good
nose.
At sniffing that stuff out. So I told him, don't worry, we're going to save a few bucks. I'm going to let Mary give you a good sniff. And effective today, my cat, Larry Munson, has his own poison control case number, because that went down yesterday. Let me tell you. So every day, you know, I give Kevin his whatever he's taking, which right now is all like vitamins and supplements because he's off his meds. But I give him everything in like a little silver cup, and he gets some turmeric for anti-inflammatory properties, and he gets a multivitamin, and I give him some krill. I don't even know why I'm giving him the krill, but he seemed to want it, and a handful of other things, and a tiny vitamin D gel cap. And so I handed it to him, and he emptied it out onto the table and reached for his glass. And in a flash, Larry Munson, who weighs 18 plus pounds and is mammoth, it's like having a small mountain lion in the house. Larry Munson comes flying through the air out of nowhere, puts his face in the pile, eats the vitamin D, and runs off. We have no idea why he did this. He's never done this before. Like, we've never, ever had this behavior. It happened so fast. We looked at each other, and Kevin goes, I can't get the pill out of his mouth. He's already swallowed it. So I Google it, and vitamin D is toxic to cats. So I call the vet, and the vet said, oh, you have to call poison control or the emergency vet. So I called the emergency vet, and they're like, you have to call animal poison control, and they'll give you a case number. And that way we'll know what to do if you have to bring him in. So I call animal poison control. They're so nice at animal poison control. It's not free, by the way. They will be taking a credit card at animal poison control. But the guy that I got, they're such animal lovers, and they're so nice. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, my 18-pound Bengal cat stole my husband's vitamin D gel cap and ate it. And as I'm saying this, I'm like, could I have one day, one whole day, where something insane is not coming out of my mouth? Could I just have that one day where I don't have to call a complete stranger and say crazy things?
Do you know that when I had a checkup a couple of years ago, like a yearly checkup, the doctor said, now, are you taking vitamin D supplements? Because the medical community is now pretty sure that Americans don't get enough vitamin D. And I said, yes, I am. So your cat is smarter than most Americans.
Oh, yeah.
As far
he's
as
doing
taking,
great.
You know, and now it wasn't good for him, but he heard that vitamin D was a plus. What did he know? That it was humans.
So,
Sherry, when you called poison control, did they answer immediately?
Yes. I think that animal poison control.
Good question.
Animal poison control is doing a better job than people medicine at this point. They answered on the second ring. Animal poison control, this is Tad. How can I help you? I mean, it was like that. And then Tad's like, how many did he get? What is the strength of the capsule on the bottle? What is the brand of the vitamin? And I'm hearing click, 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 click. By the time they processed my credit card, because it ain't free to get a poison control case number on your pet, as Lamar knows, I knew that nature made vitamin D 1000 IU. There was nothing in it but gelatin and vitamin D, and that Larry Munson could have eaten 32 of them before it would have poisoned him because he's so big. So all's well that ends well.
That's good.
Yeah. Ends well.
How much did it cost? Do you remember what
just,
the
you know,
charge
85,
was?
Just $85, Bob. That's
Are you all. Kidding me? Really?
$85.
$85.
$85.
I get, you know what that is? That's to keep somebody there 24/7. That's what that's for.
Yeah. And they were really responsive. So yeah, yeah. I get off the phone and Kevin is beside himself. I probably would have been, because of the way I was raised, I would have been like, it's just one. What's it going to hurt him? Right. But Kevin was beside himself.
Right. Yeah.
So I get off and I'm like, he's going to be fine. The poison control guy said he's going to be fine. And my love, if I could have one day where I don't have to say something insane sounding to a stranger. And my husband looked at me and said, I gave up on that a long time ago with you.
For better or worse.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Send us a picture of your dog at bobandsherry.com and you could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend dog food. Love My Pup is sponsored by Dr. Marty's. Visit drmartypets.com/bob for up to 54% off your first order, plus free Tilly's Treasures dog treats.
So Miley Cyrus won Record of the Year, the Grammy, for the single Flowers. And when that thing got released back in the summer, like, you couldn't turn anywhere. Every third woman alive was using it for, like, social posts. I mean, it's a song that really resonated with women. It's a great record. It was a big hit. And this is what the official single sounds like.
I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand, talk to myself for hours, say things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing.
Great song. Great it performance, is. Right? Yeah. Powerful message. Mm-hmm. So the other day, I'm sitting listening to the demo that Miley submitted for this song to the record label. And the demo is a whole different animal. Listen.
I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand, talk to myself for hours, see things you don't understand. I can take myself there. Love me better than you can.
It's much more evocative, yeah, obviously, because all you're focused on is her voice.
Yeah. So for anyone that's like, yeah, Miley, it's all auto-tuned. Oh no, sir. It's not. Her voice is incredible. But I get, even though I like the demo version better, where it's just her voice and I guess that's a piano and organ. I never know what anything is. I get why the label juiced it up.
Oh, yeah. It becomes a song you can dance at a bachelorette party to all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, you still have that incredible husky rock and roll voice, but now you have all this like upbeat, happy, peppy, we're in the club kind of instrumentation behind it.
I think what really sold that though was her video, which was very dramatic. And I think I'm right. I think that is being played at bridesmaids' parties, wherever they are. Can you not see them all with their hands up in the air singing along
to
this
totally.
Song?
Oh, totally. The problem is that the message of the song is, I don't need you. I can take care of myself. So it's ironic for the bachelorettes, but yeah,
it is. But still, it's a cry for independence more than anything.
I love when we've done this before with other songs where you strip out the instruments and all you hear is the voice.
Right.
It's so interesting when you hear that she and her co-writer on that song just kind of played around and then submitted it as the demo. And that demo, there are artists that would cut their arm off to have a demo as good as the demo for this song.
Right.
wild. I had somebody ask me the other day, why do I think that Miley doesn't have the same career that Taylor Swift has? And it comes down to one simple thing, and that's songwriting. Mm-hmm. Taylor's a machine.
Mm-hmm.
She's a songwriting machine.
Yeah, if you can bring your own stuff, it's a lot easier to get ahead.
And to be able to control your career. But there you go. I mean, that is some impressive stuff. So if you had any doubts about whether or not our girl could sing, heck yeah, she could sing. Morons in the News is next, Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
Well, this first story in Morons in the News comes out of Riverview, Florida. A massive brush fire broke out at the Mosaic Company plant, which handles fertilizer. And Eagle 8 footage, and only local TV would call their helicopter Eagle 8, by the way. It saw large plumes of black smoke that was viewable for miles and miles around. I mean, this is a major fire at the Mosaic Company plant. Police are trying to piece together some items so that they can get a clearer picture of the Mosaic plant. They're trying to piece together information to get
I sort of see what you did there.
A clearer picture.
A little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just couldn't stop myself.
Parowan, Utah, a 47-year-old man was arrested after police say he tried to get through traffic by installing red and blue flashing lights in his work truck. Multiple drivers called 911 saying a truck was using red and blue flashing lights to get to other cars to make them move out of their way. The callers were suspicious because the truck had a construction company logo on the side. So troopers stopped the truck as they exited the freeway. The trooper said the driver admitted to turning on his flashing lights. The driver tested positive for cannabis, amphetamine, and methamphetamine. The driver also claimed that he takes the amphetamine to stay awake because he gets sleepy. Well, I'm guessing the pot and meth makes him sleepy, so I sort of see what he's saying. Plus, the flashing red light signaled, drug-addled driver coming through. Get out of the way. Yeah. Get out of the way. Yeah. I like a man whose motto is safety first, but he's still being charged. He's still being charged.
You know what we say, if you're doing a crime, don't be doing another crime. You're really going to jail. Wow.
Today's moron of the day is a really fun video. This is so adorable. This happened at a wildlife safari park in the UK. They've had heavy, heavy, heavy rain, like downpours. And so the rain created like a mini lake right in the middle of the game preserve where they keep the carnivores, bears, and that sort of thing. So the head of that section of the park went and got one of those swan-shaped pedal boats, can you picture it, from a different part of the park, floated it on the new lake. And the bears came barreling out of the trees to investigate the swan pedal boat. And they got on it and were going for little rides. Now, they did not know how to pedal, but they climbed on. At one point, like five of them were trying to get in and nearly capsized it. And then they figured out that they needed to take turns. And the sight of these roly-poly, chunky bears trying to figure out how to go for a ride on this big fake swan.
That is a hoot.
Will make you feel so much better about this world that we live in. So we'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Coming up, we have comedian Roger Mercek. And then, how would you like to be living a better life than 98% of humanity? You can do it. There are teeny tiny adjustments, little bitsy ones that you need to make that don't require gazillions of dollars. We have all of that coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So if you are listening to the Bob and Sherry show in the Columbia, South Carolina area, you know that Richland Mall closed back in, I think, September of last year, the very last store in the mall closed. It's just one more in the long, sad story of big mega malls shutting down and sitting empty. Well, they decided to demolish Richland Mall because they're going to build other things on the site. Retail space, a city park, a brewery, I guess like a beer garden. So in the process of destroying and tearing the mall down and hauling everything away, they found a time capsule that had been buried in the year 2000 when the mall first opened. And I don't know what it is about these time capsules. We're forever burying them and then forgetting all about them and then being amazed when somebody digs them back up. So this one completely forgotten about, and it's marked do not open until January 20th, 2033. So one of the Columbia City Councilmen, Stephen Oliver, said, well, we're gonna obey that. As soon as everything is completed on the site, we're going to rebury the time capsule and we're not going to open it till January 2033. But of course, that isn't true because they're going to rebury the time capsule and not write down where it is or even that it existed. And they're going to forget. And it's going to be found like 80 years from now.
Aren't you surprised that a mall came and went in 24 years?
Yeah, I was. I was actually very surprised that it was built.
And that's a nice mall. I mean, that was a nice mall. Very nice.
I didn't realize it was a young mall. But, you know, this is what's happening to malls. They're just, some of them are kind of being rehabilitated and they're coming up with new uses for them, putting in like housing and businesses and stuff, but not in the case of this one. So, for everyone out there that has a time capsule, write down where it is on a post-it note and then put that somewhere. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Roger Mercek.
I just bought my first pillow. Didn't that sound odd? Every guy in this room has a pillow, but he has no idea where it came from. Every guy in this room has a pillow. You've had one all your life, you don't know where it came from. These guys don't buy pillows. You've never bought a pillow in your life. No, guys are issued pillows. Right? I think when we're born, we got a name, a mom, and a pillow. I really think. Right? You've always had it. You took it for granted, right? Went off to college, took it into the dorm with you. You don't know where it came from. Got your first apartment. There it was, right there. There's my pillow right there. I lost my pillow. I freaked out. I'd had it forever. It's like, where am I going to get another one of those? I ended up back at the information desk in a shopping mall, right? A little information desk with a little old lady right there. She goes, what happened to the one you were issued? I don't know. And then the sales lady goes, what kind of pillow do you want? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's one like I had. A white one. Stains, might have stains. Looks like a map of Eastern Europe. Is that still popular? I guess. If a woman comes into your life, you get a lot of pillows. Like shoes, they like pillows. Right. How many pillows should be on the bed, sir? 29, that's correct. I mean, I go to bed at night, I can't really lie down. It's just like, it's like flying coach. It's kind of like, this is great. Nah, this is nice. No, I'm fine, honey, I'm fine. Hey, I can still see some of the comforter right here. Probably got room for another pillow right there. And when you make the bed, you have to get the pillows in the right order. The first pillow is called the Sham. It's the Sham. It's the biggest pillow on the bed. It has ruffles. That's how you know it. And they call it the Sham because that's what it is. It's about $150 for it. They were going to call it the Scam, but that was a little too obvious. Let's call it the Sham. Then the next pillow is the actual working pillow, the one you sleep on. And then they even have smaller pillows that go between the cracks of the larger pillows. I think those are called grouting pillows. have you ever seen a pillow in the trash? We can't bring ourselves to throw a pillow away. I've never seen a pillow in the trash. We don't throw them out after they get old. We stick them in the closet for guests. I'm up there in the linen closet for guests. They become like a little wafer over the years that go by. A brown wafer. She'll sleep over somebody else. You never want the guest pillow, right? Can I get you a pillow? No, I've seen your family.
He sounds so much like Jerry Seinfeld. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it, but now that you say it. So, you guys, this is the God's truth. Kevin's pillows, they look like three dingy pancakes, and I think he's had them since childhood, and
I will not
part with them.
I cannot have a flat pillow.
I don't like a flat one either, unless it's the second one underneath.
If I just put a sheet of copier paper in a pillowcase and put it on the bed, you would not be able to tell the difference. It's so bad. They are so nasty. Every once in a while, I take them and I just throw them in the washer and run them through the washer and dryer. And they can't be saved. Like they have what they, I can never get them to look like they've been washed. And he loves them so much that he'll roll one up and put it in his backpack and take it on the road. Like he will not be without his pillow. You can find comedian Roger Mercek at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, why not nominate your favorite teacher to win a trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort, courtesy of our friends from Visit Florida. That's also at BobAndSherry.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobAndSherry.com.
We just had on comedian Roger Mercek, and he took one idea, one topic, and did his whole stand-up around this one idea that guys don't know where their pillows came from. And it was very, very funny. I thought he really nailed it. When I think of pillows, I only think of a certain type of pillow, a very soft foam pillow, almost like sponge. Do you know the type I'm talking about?
It's not feathers or fluff. I know exactly
right.
What you're talking about.
I've had one since I was a kid when I had bad allergies. My mother found one. And since then, I go hunting for them when I need a new pillow. I found one that was amazing. It was the perfect density, the perfect size. I loved it. Mary stole it from me. And she just said, I'm sorry, I'm not giving it back. I'm just not giving it back. I went, what do you mean you're not giving it back? She said, well, you know, I sit up here. You know, I watch my TV up here. You're in the other room. I need it more than you need it. No, you don't. I had allergies as a kid. So I had to find a second-rate one, which I'm using now. And when I was out looking for that pillow, all I could think about were my ex-in-laws, God rest their souls. They were very sweet people. He was a doctor, ear, nose, and throat. And I learned through conversation, very casual conversation with them, that neither one of them used a pillow all their adult life together.
What? They just
head
went to bed on a mattress?
On a mattress. And I thought it was just ridiculous. And then I started thinking about, he's an ear, nose, and throat doctor. He probably knows something about breathing, about the spine, the neck, and how that works. And I tried it. I tried it for one night. And I said, I guess something bad's going to happen to my neck because I can't do it. And they did it all their adult lives.
You know, Bob, there are some things that you can't do, but that you also won't do. Because you know that old saying, no one on their deathbed ever wished they'd worked more. I am not going to be on my deathbed going, damn it all. I have not had a pillow.
I know.
Do that. I love my pillows. I have two giant fluffy pillows and I love them and I'm not giving them up and I don't care what the health benefits are. I mean,
Lamar was just saying that he uses two pillows. I thought I was the only freak that uses two pillows.
No.
The big fluffy foam one and then I have a thin one. Kind of like he was describing, the comedian, a thin one that's underneath it. And I've just always had them as a kid. So I'm glad to know you have two pillows too.
I do. And the bottom pillow, it's really an expensive pillow. I mean, I bought a very expensive pillow. But it lays on the bottom. And then the second pillow is a little bit fluffier so that when I lay down, it sort of comes around a little bit and cradles my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got to have them both. I got to have them both. And the other thing that we have to have a fan. A box fan has to be running every day. Every night when we sleep, there has to be a box fan. When we travel, we take the box fan. If we fly somewhere for vacation, I go to Walmart, I buy a box fan, I leave it in the room when I leave. Got to have a box fan. In places that we visit, like at Looney's house, different places that we go on a regular basis, they all have a box fan in their closet that belongs to us. Because we have a box fan, and it blows on us every night.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling. I don't like ceiling fans at all. But I have to have a sleep machine. Mary carries her own pillow with her. And let me tell you what a pain in the butt that is. Because it takes up half of her suitcase. And that means that the stuff that would go in that side of the suitcase goes in my suitcase.
Marriage is wonderful. It's just wonderful, you know, because you're a weirdo with a lot of stuff and issues. And then you share your life with another weirdo who has a lot of stuff and issues. And then suddenly you find that you're responsible, not just for your own weird stuff and issues, but for the comfort of your partner's weird stuff and issues. And also the carrying about of and remembering that the weird stuff and issues need to be done. The last thing I say when Kevin and I head out the door, if we're going to be gone overnight, the last thing I say is, did you get your pillow? And he'll be like, I got my pillow. Not that it makes
He's
any
like
difference
five
because
years
again,
old.
Yeah, not that it makes any difference because again, a sheet of copier paper and a pillowcase would give you roughly the same level of comfort. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Do you remember, I think it was about 3 months ago, I was talking about a fantasy job that I would like to have if I had skills that would make that possible. And it was the captain of a container ship. I just think they're just so awesome looking. And the idea of taking it from Savannah to Hong Kong or some really exotic place really, really turns me on. And then I saw this story. And I've decided that I would not be a good captain for a container ship. The story was, how do you repel pirates when you're out there on the high seas? You know what they're doing now? Well, the pirate ships come up. And I guess, I don't know if it's a law or not, but maybe it is a law. You can't fire guns at the pirates. You can't, That's or ridiculous. Maybe you can't have guns on the ships. But here's what they're doing. They're firing water cannons. Because you got a lot of water, you're sitting on water, so they fire water cannons at these people. And if these people still are coming and start to climb up, like that Tom Hanks movie, what was that? Captain Phillips. They roll out. It's all set to go. They roll out really sharp barbed wire that surrounds the top of the ship. So if the pirates get up there with their hooks and whatever else, they're going to hit barbed wire. That's going to be very difficult. And I guess the sailors can poke them with something to try to knock them off. But then on top of that, which sounds really scary, on top of that, that footage of the Baltimore Bridge going into the river, holy cow, that was just frightening. And I know that if I were captain, something would happen to my ship, because it wasn't a drunken captain or anything like that.
Here's what they're saying, that the ship, which was 948 feet long. I mean, this thing is massive.
Yeah.
That there was some sort of issue where they lost control. The crew radioed just before they hit the bridge, we've lost control. We have no propulsion. So when they hit the bridge, what's shocking, and I know everybody has seen this video, you can't escape it. It's everywhere. It's on the TV news. It's on your news feed. What's shocking is how fast that bridge went down, like an erector set bridge built by a kid.
Right.
It was just shocking.
Exactly. Which That's tells why you I the don't power be, of those ships.
Like when I remember when Captain Phillips came out, Bob was like, that's the life for me, being the captain of a container ship. I don't even want to drive Kevin's truck. Okay. Like I don't even want the responsibility of driving somebody else's car. I would never want to be the captain of a container ship, because you can tell me all day long about computers and satellites and everything else. There is a point where you are the captain and you must steer the ship. And I just know I would do something terrible and stupid. So
throughout the year, and it's not reported very much, there are thousands of those containers that are lost over the sides of those ships. Oh, and they're at the bottom of the ocean, you know, like rough seas or come out of nowhere or wind or whatever. And they're so top heavy that they lose some of those containers. I would hate, even if it wasn't my fault, I feel so sorry for whoever is the captain of that ship that took down that bridge in Baltimore. For the rest of his career, that's how he's going to be remembered. And he'll say, it wasn't my fault. Computer went out. The computer went out. But you're still the guy at the helm.
Well, and think about, I mean, people have lost their lives. Like, it's just a terrible accident. Max said, we were chatting, because it happened basically in the middle of the night. And so we were chatting the next morning, and Max said to me, because Max, you know, lived and worked in that part of the world. He knows it really well. And he said, can you imagine if this had happened at rush hour? It's unthinkable.
That was a blessing, actually. Yeah. So, Max, that's a really highly traveled bridge.
Oh, yeah, it really is. In fact, it used to be that you had to go through one of those harbor tunnels, and then they built 695, and it's a great way to go around it, and it is a big, long bridge that goes through that area.
Right. Yeah. Baltimore's having a hard enough time. What a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. All right, keep it here. We got lots more Bob and Sherry, including the Bob and Sherry box office. And we've broken down marriage. We've solved the mystery. It's just you agreeing to be responsible for another person's weirdness for the rest of your life. All of that straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I want to shout out the firefighters in Franklinville, New Jersey, who came to the heroic rescue of an 11-month-old yellow lab who put her head through a spare tire and got it stuck. Nothing would get this dog out. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So the volunteer firefighters responded to find Daisy, that's her name, I mean, all the way in the rim of the tire. So, you know, you've got the tire and you have that hubcap metal rim thing. That's where her head got stuck. So they were trying to come up with a rescue plan, because you can't reason with Daisy, the 11-month-old lab. It's not like a person where you can talk her through it. They tried dish soap and water, but she was pretty stuck in there. And then they tried vegetable oil. And when that didn't work, they put plastic wrap, you know, like saran wrap around her neck, hoping that between the plastic wrap and the vegetable oil and the dish soap, she could slide out. And that didn't work. And that's when volunteer firefighter Lieutenant Brandon Volpe said, I remembered I had plasma cutters at my house. Plasma cutters are used for cutting steel and metal. So the crew picked up Daisy with her head stuck in the spare tire and put her in a red wagon, like a radio flyer wagon, and rolled her all the way to Brandon's house in the back of the wagon. Really? And then they went into the garage. I mean, you have to imagine what this looked like to the neighbors, okay? Here comes the firefighters in uniform pulling the little red wagon with Daisy with her head stuck in the tire. So she panicked a little bit, because a plasma cutter is noisy and scary for a dog. So what they did was the firefighters put a fire blanket around her head and neck to protect her. And then they held her really tight on both sides so that she wouldn't be scared. And Brandon used his plasma cutters to free her from the spare tire. And then everyone cheered. And we had a happy ending. Yay!
That's so sweet. My dog Finn starts shaking when he's getting groomed at the dog groomer place. I can't imagine.
Yeah. So shout out to the Franklinville, New Jersey Volunteer Fire Department for their amazing rescue of Daisy the Lab. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is talk back time. Now, you can call us on the phone. That works at 844-52-SHERI. Or you can snatch up the free Bob and Sherry app, Google Play, and the Apple Store. With it, you can listen to the show every day and all of our podcasts, including The Oddcast and Talking Lamar and True Weird Stuff. You can text the studio and enter contests, and there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. Tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. This is Carrie, and I'm just listening to the podcast where Bob said the phrase hot as butter, and Lamar and Sherry said, no, it's butter's cold. It's cold as butter. The saying is like a hot knife through butter, and I know this because I teach English to high schoolers, and some teacher they had previously at some time must have been talking to them about similes, because for a couple years there, I kept seeing like a hot knife through butter in everybody's essay. So we had to go ahead and lay that one to rest. But the saying is like a hot knife through butter. Love the show.
Okay, you know, I know that expression, but for people who are just tuning in, I had an electrician, two of them. One was upstairs, one was downstairs. One yelled, "All right, I put the switch on. Is it hot?" And the guy upstairs says, "Hot as butter." And I thought that was kind of cool, but I was the only one on the show that thought it was cool. Everybody else said, "No, that doesn't make any sense." But to me, it made sense. And I guess it's because I grew up in my father's restaurant, and we would serve hot butter with a lobster shore dinner, right? And that's why maybe it connected.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Doesn't make
give
any
me
sense.
A break. What was the other one? A saying that I was going to be used. I'll make it happen, oh, Captain.
Yeah. That Captain. One makes yeah. some sense. Like if you want to make it happen,
both
Captain.
Did.
Yeah, no, they don't. But you know what? Life is so hard and miserable and wretched and disappointing that if you want to claim hot as butter as your personal catchphrase, you should do it.
Okay, good.
You should do it and you should live your best life. No.
Yeah.
No, we're still going to criticize it, but go ahead and do it. Yeah.
But you can go ahead. Yeah, feel free.
Well, I'm going to.
Yeah, that's not changing.
Okay. I mean, you know, you're not the boss of me.
No.
Oh, God knows.
No,
I mean, kind of, I am a little bit, but you go right ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not.
You go right ahead.
We've got another talk back.
Hey, boss, what do you want me to do today? I'll make it happen, Captain.
You are just as hot as butter, you little monkey.
Thank you. There you go. I win. What's the next one? Who else
Good morning,
wants to
Bob and Sherry. This is Jen in Michigan. I'm calling about the March 19th episode where you guys were talking about the crunchies from Long John Silver's. Well, they actually sell them over in England. They're called scratchins. My Aunt Anne came over and Uncle Paul came over from England, and they were telling us all about that kind of stuff. Yeah, you can go into a fish and chips place, a pub, and you can get scratchins if that's all you want. So... yeah, there's people like them. Scratchings are good. All right, have a good one. Thank you.
How is Uncle Paul?
They
these
sound
days?
Good.
Does anyone know? How is Uncle Paul?
They sound.
He's good.
They
Love
sound
her.
Good. Yeah. Here's the part I don't understand. Like Lamar, I never knew about crunchies or scratchins or crumbs or any of that at Long John Silver until you brought it up. Like, how do you crunchy scratching people know to ask for this? Because I feel like if Bob bellied up to the counter and asked for a cup of deep fried crumbs, he'd get arrested. Like there's no way it would work for him. How do you learn the secret code?
This happened like over 30 years ago. I started going to Long John Silver's and I really liked it. And so every once in a while, when they would put your fish on the plate, they would accidentally scoop up some of the crunchy stuff. And so when I'd get through with the fish, I'd be, oh, there's more crunchy stuff. I like the crunchy stuff. It's like finding a McDonald's fry in the bag when you get through eating, you know? And so the next time I went in after that, I just said to the guy at the register, I said, those crunchy things that, you know, those crumbly things you got there, I said, there's some on the plate. Can I get extra, like a tray of those? Can I get like a scoop of them? He goes, I guess so. And he hollered back to the kitchen and said, this guy wants some of them crumbly, crunchy things. And they put them on the plate. And from that point on, I asked for them every time I go.
And so you invented this.
Oh, I didn't invent it. I'm sure somebody else did it. But I saw what I wanted and I went after it. No, they were super nice about it. Super nice.
I'm so impressed. I would not have, I just wouldn't have the nerve to go, yeah, some of that stuff at the bottom of the fry later. I'd like a tray of that.
If I asked for that, they would say, hey, we got a bum out here. Let throw the bum out. That's what would happen.
We got a freak. There's a freak at the counter.
Yeah.
All right, do not move. We have the teeny tiny, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny rules that if you take them on, you'll be living better than 98% of people. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
If you want to send a teacher to Florida on vacation this summer, nominate them at bobandsherry.com to win a trip from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. I don't like to stand looking over from very tall buildings, you know, like the observation desk at the Empire State Building. I'll take people who've never been to New York up there, you know, but I don't go over there and just, you know, look straight down because I got a phobia.
Yeah.
And now I have a new one. Have you ever been, like, you're in a new city or city you're not really familiar with, and they used to have somebody when you were in the parking deck who would take your ticket, right? So you save your ticket, you give it to them, then you give them the card or cash or whatever. Well, all of those people have been fired, and they've been replaced by automatic systems. And some of them are a little more difficult to understand than others. Some, you put the ticket right up, and it beeps and tells you how much, and it works okay. There are others where you can't find where to put it, or you put in your card and it rejects it, or and then you turn around the card the other way and you go, and then it rejects it again. And now there are two, three people who are behind you. And this is my phobia. I had it happen once, and I could not get that damn thing to work. I could not get that arm to go up. I could not get it to pay. And it got to the point, there's like 5 to 6 cars behind me, and the motors are revving, you know. At one point, after about 2 minutes of trying to figure it out, I got out of the car and said, go to the next lane, go to the next lane. And I looked completely out of my mind, completely. And they go to the next lane because there's two lanes, and they give you that stare. And I know what the stare is, because if I'm the guy behind the guy who's going, get in the next lane, who can't figure out how to get the machine to work, I'm looking at him. And you know what I'm saying? You jackass. Why do you even come to a city? You should just stay, you know, stay out in the woods where you belong when you can't operate something. So the other day, Mary and I were in a city that we were not familiar with, and I'm driving, and I pull up, and I almost start sweating. It's like, am I going to be able to get this one? I've never seen this one before. All right, here we go. What's the voice say? Oh, that's where I put it. Yeah, and that's how much, and there's the card, and there's two cars behind me. Please, make it happen. Make it happen. And the arm goes up, and off I go. I go through this every time I'm in one of these new parking lots, and I hate it. I hate it. My new phobia, and I don't know how to get rid of it.
Stay home. Just don't go nowhere. Listen, just stay home.
If you really want to be stressed out, so there's a new thing at the airport. You can reserve your parking in advance, which sounds like a thing you shouldn't need to do, except the airport has built exactly enough parking for everyone but you. There's right. exactly enough spaces except for you. Yeah. And you need somebody to leave. And it's never going to work out for you, right? So you can buy your parking in advance at the airport. And there's all these different, there's big remote, not so far away remote, daily east, daily west, hourly north, hourly south. Like there are all these different configurations. Mm-hmm. So you buy your parking and you pay for it in advance and you're guaranteed a space and they send you a QR code. But you better remember which version of east, west, north, south you parked in, because you'll be sitting there, Bob, waving your phone at the reader and it doesn't open and you're watching your flight taking off without you because you booked into east and you're sitting at west or whatever.
And there's people behind you.
Yeah. And they're rolling their eyes. Do not ever, 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 if you have parking lot phobia, pay in advance for your airport parking. It will not, it won't save you anything.
Yeah, I would never do that. I just would never do that. And it's, you know, I've been parking in these parking lots. It's not like I'm from the country. You know, I've been doing it for years, but every one of these machines is hating me and they're all different. Why can't they all be the same? Why can't they be the same?
You know what? If I was behind you and you jumped out of your car and started waving and shouting, use the other lane, use the other lane, I would feel like, I hear you, brother. We have all been there. I would not judge you and make fun
really?
Of you.
Really? Because I just feel like I'm the only one who's been there.
No. It's the pressure. Else, it's the pressure behind you. That's the pressure. If there's no car behind you, it goes easy. It's real smooth.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're exactly right.
It's... All right, well, there are a lot of things that are you, but this is not one. So you can free yourself of this
one. What do you mean there
are
a lot of things?
Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
Human beings are competitive. So sometimes the best way to get people to take better care of themselves is to make it a competition. So how would you like to hear some of the tiny rules to have a better life than 98% of your fellow people?
Yeah.
Tell me you wouldn't want to be living better than 98% of people. Yeah. See, it's the competitive thing. It just awakens that fierce warrior spirit. First thing, this is really interesting. If you're anxious, slow down. But if you're depressed, speed up. Meaning, if you're anxious, you're doing too much and you're overthinking and you're overwhelmed. So slow down. But if you're depressed, a good remedy for that is to just kind of lean into taking some action and do something that gets you busy, even if you feel sluggish and tired. That's an easy one to remember, right?
Yeah, I think it is, yes.
This next one is so hard. It's hard for you. It's hard for Max. It's hard for me. It's hard for Doc. I don't think it's hard for Lamar. Here we go. When you're having some thoughts that make you feel worse, don't buy them. Kick those thoughts out of your head. Yep. So this is challenging because I'm going to step aside here and explain to Max. Max, it's possible to have thoughts that don't make you feel worse about yourself. I know you're hearing this for the first time.
Wow, I had no idea, Sherry. Thank you.
I'm regularly using my get away, Nikki, when those thoughts come into my head now. And I'm not 100% sure that it works, but I think it's working for me. It's been, two and a half weeks that I started doing it.
Yeah, about 3 weeks, here's another one. If you're self-conscious, and people with social anxiety are often anxious because they're so self-conscious, like, oh, I feel so out of place. Why are people looking at me? Is there something on my nose, right? If you're having a moment where you're really like in a sweat because you're so self-conscious, it only brings you misery. So according to this, what you need to do is immediately shift your focus to someone else. So let's say you're at some event and you're really, really self-conscious and awkward and don't know what to do with your hands. And you see someone struggling to carry a handful of plates and glasses across the room, walk over and offer to help. Boom. You not only just shifted the focus off yourself onto somebody else, but you did something kind for another person. And who knows, maybe you make a friend that way.
Max does that all the time. Yeah. Max is the king of that sort of thing.
He's the kindest person, isn't he?
Here's another one. Stop waiting for permission. Make the first move. You be the one to start the conversation. You be the one who says, yeah, we really should get together. Pick up the phone and send a text or a call and set a date and a time. Make the first move. Here's another one.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that down. Be the first to speak. I'm going to write that down.
Be the first to speak. Yeah. Here's another one. Do what most other people refuse to do. So how you can manage that is do what other people don't have the patience for. Do what other people refuse to do. And that can be in your house or at your job or in the world. Like, let's say you live in a neighborhood where people are just kind of like they litter. They're sort of sloppy, which, of course, makes Bob psycho. Instead of ranting and raving about how sloppy people are, get a trash bag and go out and do what other people refuse to do. Clean it up.
You've made
the world a little bit better. You do that. And you've given yourself an activity and you've dealt with your fury in a productive way.
I do have to tell you, though, the first time I set out, I had this. It's a Bob and Sherry backpack that Tony sent to me, right? I think we were giving them away and he sent me one. So I threw it. I had the dog and it was just me and the dog. And I threw the backpack over, you know, my back because sometimes I'll find more than one thing. And Mary said, where are you going with a backpack? And I said, when I'm walking the dog, I pick up trash on the side of the road. She just went back inside and closed the door.
Well, that's that. You know what? That's her choice. Doesn't have to change what you want.
I'm not saying she wouldn't pick it up, but she's never been with a guy that would walk around with a trash bag on his back.
Well, but you did a lot of things by picking up that trash. Instead of complaining and ranting and being angry and upset and furious at other people's failure to act, you took action. And you got out into the fresh air. And I'm sure Tony, if he's hearing this right now, hey, T, that backpack is a trash bag.
At least it's getting some use. I mean, do you see me tackling the Appalachian Trail? Really?
As the Lord intended. So I'm going to put, there's a bunch of these and they're all like super helpful and really simple. And yet it's the kind of thing where you go, oh yeah, I probably should do that. We'll put these up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
So I was at my granddaughter's birthday party, Elle, not long ago. She was 3 years old, and her dad, Ramsey, was there. And I said, could you take a picture of Elle and me? And he said, yeah, I've got it right here. And he put his finger up to his glasses. And I was going, what's going on here? And he goes, I've got a camera in my glasses. I think it's an Apple product. Have you seen these things yet? Wayfarer. Yeah. Wayfarer are the glasses. They're not cheap. And you just punch it and you can see a tiny little lens kind of moving a little bit. And that's to let people know that they're being recorded. Because otherwise, it might be kind of creepy in some situations.
Still creepy.
I was amazed. What do you think?
Can I tell you, there was a woman on, I forget which one of my social feeds. She went out on a date with a guy. It was a first date. Everything was fine. Yeah. She got home that night and he texted her a bunch of pictures of herself. He had those glasses and she didn't realize it. And she was so creeped out, she blocked him and nearly moved.
Because
he didn't get consent to take that picture. Like, I'm with Lamar.
Right, exactly.
Ramsey loves technology. He was the first person I know to have a drone, right?
Right.
So he's never going to use it for evil, but I think it's creepy.
If you're looking for the little lens, you can see it in, on the left-hand side, I think it is, of the glasses. So it is there. It's not totally, you know, hidden. But if you didn't know what you were looking for, you would have no idea. You would just think, that's a screw or something.
It's just getting to the point where if you leave your house, you have to be Inspector Gadget level observant and ready to act at all times.
I know.
It's exhausting.
I know it. I guarantee you that guy didn't get a second date with that lady. There's no way.
She blocked him.
What a creep. What an absolute creep. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
So earlier in today's show, we were talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject of pillows, but Bob said something that really has stuck with me, and I've been reflecting on it. He said that when they travel, and I've traveled with Bob and Mary, so Mary brings a lot of luggage, and now I know why. She's got a full, like, king-size bed pillow in that suitcase. But of course, then there's no, it's true, right? So, but then there's no room for Mary's clothes, makeup, skincare products. And Mary, unlike me, brushes and styles her hair. So she's got all this hair stuff too. And we have traveled together a bunch over the years. And now I understand. Now I understand the dynamic. And it just got me thinking, like, you enter into an arrangement with another human being. For a lot of us, it's marriage. Some people are just living together, whatever. And then suddenly, you have all their weirdness and responsibility for them and their comfort on top of you. So, like, when we travel, my husband can go, he could go away for a week with a backpack. And I'm not talking like a hiking backpack. I'm talking like the one your kid takes their books to school in. Because he buzzes his hair off and washes it with whatever is handy. It could be shampoo. It could be a bar of French milled hotel soap. It could be a fistful of Dawn dishwashing liquid. It doesn't matter. He can wash his little stubbly hair with whatever. He has no skincare products, no makeup, obviously. And his entire wardrobe consists of like shorts and t-shirts or an occasional button down, right? So he can put a week's worth of stuff in a backpack. Meanwhile, like I have hair, right, on my head. And I shampoo it with hair products, not the stuff he washes the car with. And, you know, skin products and clothes and makeup. And every single time we go somewhere, this is what it sounds like. Woman, why you need all that stuff? I can go for a week in a backpack. Kev, do you have your pillow? Woman, why do you need such a big bag? We're only going for 3 days. Babe, do you have your pillow? This is my whole life. Him demanding to know why I can't wash my hair with whatever and wear nothing but shorts and t-shirts, and me wondering if he's going to be okay if he has his pillow. Because if he doesn't have his pillow, listen, if he doesn't have his pillow, not only does he not sleep, but then he's like in weird, freaky pain, which really brings the party to a trip. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
What,
that's right.
How is it that this is never in like the movies or the TV shows? How is it that when we're like in our formative years, we're like, oh my God, I'm going to fall in love and we're going to go to Paris and we're going to have a magical adventure together? Because that's what you grow up watching, right? How is it that it's never, oh, I'm going to fall in love, and then we're going to get married, and then we're going to drive each other insane till we die?
Because movies lie. We've talked about this. It's all lies. Yeah. You know what is really freaky? You're exactly right that when you get married or you move in with somebody, although sinus is still bothering you this season.
Let me tell you what. I am dying from the pollen. I didn't even sleep last night. I was up coughing and sneezing. Like, I feel sick right now, and I'm not sick. It's just the pollen. But go on.
Well, listening to you, I feel a little sick myself. But anyway, so you were saying we take on each other's phobias. And
weirdness,
you accept it. You know? You accept it. I accept that half of my luggage is going to be replaced by a giant pillow. All right? But what gets kind of dangerous is when the other person all of a sudden says, you know what, I've had enough of this. Like, she took it as her job to cook, and so every night, especially when her kids were living with us, she's cooking and I would clean up afterward. And that was the deal, that Bob really doesn't know how to cook when you get right down to it. But then one day she said, you know, I'd really love it if somebody cooked for me. Well, there's not three chefs living with us, so the somebody is me. And I went, oh, she's just broken the code. You know, now she wants me to cook. And so that night, I come into the into the dining area and I say, here is meat. I have meat for you. I have cooked this meat outside. Outside where animals live, I have cooked this meat for you. And of course, it's not
done
right for
her. She doesn't
want
that meat. Yeah.
She does not want that. She wants an actual dinner with a balance, something green, a potato, blah, blah, blah. And so the best that I've come up with, you know what the best I've come up with? Stir fry and soup. That's it. It's almost like out of the Middle Ages. I cook
that's fine.
In a
it's
hot,
something.
It's something.
That's something.
And it has gotten better, but she broke the code of weirdness.
Look, hey, you're doing good, because when the patient cooks for me, he makes it his mission to hide spam in there somewhere to show me that I do like spam. It's exhausting. It's exhausting being married. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
We were just talking about the tasks that people who live together give each other or we take on. And Sherry, just off of mic, used the most despised phrase in married life. And that phrase is, what are we having for dinner? And it sounds just like that. It's not like, what are we having for dinner? It's, what are we having
Max
for
gets
dinner?
That. Max
it's
gets
an accusation.
That every day.
It's not a request. It's an accusation.
It is.
I think he markets it every day, too.
I do.
Every couple has it, except couples who have a little bit of money in New York City, live in Manhattan, because as Joan Rivers said, nobody in New York cooks. They do takeout or they go out to a restaurant. And that's true. But that's also very expensive. Most of us cannot do that and will not do that. I hate it so much that I know what I'm going to be going through. She'll say, what are we going to have for dinner? And immediately I say, do you want me to go out and pick up something? Like what? We haven't had Thai for a while. I don't feel like that. Would you like me to get a pizza? You eat too much pizza anyway. How about the sports bar? You really like their beef. No, I don't want that beef soup. I don't want that anymore. What would you like? I don't know. You don't know? I'll eat just about Chinese. I'd rather have Thai than Chinese food. I don't want Chinese food. How about ribs? We haven't had ribs in a long time. They get stuck in my teeth, and I don't want to spend all night.
This is Max and Lamar's reality, too.
It is. Let me ask you this. Does this seem fair? Because we had this conversation the other day. Carl said, you know, she said, I'm sitting around here, you know, because she's got this leg thing that's bothering her, so she can't really move around a lot. She goes, I just feel like I'm just sitting here and I'm just eating and I'm just, so I got to watch what I eat. I've got to watch what I eat. And I said, okay. She said, so you need to plan the meat? I said, wait a minute. I agree. I will cook whatever you say. I will cook everything. I will do everything. All you have to do is decide what you want and tell me in advance. She goes, well, that's not fair. What? No, wait. I'm going to go pick it up. I'm going to cook it. I'm going to do everything with it. Just tell me what you want. I said, it saves me time, but just like what Bob was talking about, it saves me from mentioning 13 different things that you explained to me that you
exactly.
don't want, but you cannot tell me the one thing you do want. So while you're sitting here, think in your head, what would you like to have? And it doesn't matter to me what it is. I will make it happen. You just tell me.
And if they get hangry, watch out.
I like for you to pick. Yeah.
If they get hangry, it's a nightmare. We'll get in the car. She'll finally say, and by the way, I love her so much, and she's a great cook and blah, blah, blah. But we get into the car, and I say, well, where do you want to go? And she will – this is how it starts out sometimes. This place doesn't really have any good restaurants. I don't know. the top of my head, I can tell you 10, just like that. But, of course, she doesn't eat pasta, so there go, you know, my top three. It's just absolutely maddening. I'm glad we have a new sponsor coming on, and this is not an ad. It just happens to work, and it's called Factor. And you know those services where they deliver to your house, and they're very good, and they you know, everything is prepared in advance, but you still have to cut stuff up.
Oh, you're saying meal kit. Yeah, you're talking about
a meal
kits.
Kit. Yeah. Right, exactly.
You're still working.
And
you're still working.
They're helpful, but he's right. They're still work. This is one step beyond that. everything arrives, you dump it into a bowl and you microwave it. But it's fresh food, and it everything is different every day. So, I mean, that to me, there are certain moments where that would be the only way to go because there's no work involved.
These Mary and Carla are very lucky. Kev cooks breakfast, but if he cooks dinner, he hides spam in it somewhere. So it's like find the spam, which, you know, is not as fun a game as it sounds because there's never a prize. Just the realization that I'm eating spam, which I don't like. But I'll say to him, I'll be like, what do you, I'm exhausted. I've worked all day. Like we'll have a day where, you know, we do the show, we do all this other stuff. And then I'll do a true weird stuff with Max. And it's like 6 o'clock and I've been sitting at my microphone since 7:30 and this is on a Saturday. Like this will be a Saturday, you guys, where we'll have worked straight. Max and I will have worked straight through and I'll be like, what do you feel like for dinner? I'm going to go pick something up. And he'll go anything but Chinese, Italian or Mexican. Oh, well, there's a really good Himalayan place. It's in a yurt. I can get some goat kebabs and some butter tea. Right. How's that sound? Himalayan tonight? No? How about that food truck that only does the traditional foods of Irkutsk? How would that be? That's not Chinese, Italian, or Mexican.
Right now, there is a number of June brides. And they're calling their spouses saying, you know, maybe we should just live together.
You know what they're saying? Here's what they're saying. Oh, you guys are so pathetic. I will never be like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, queen, sis, look at me. Girl, look at me. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will.
It's coming.
And as for your groom who's like, well, I'm not going to be like Bob and Lamar. Oh, think again. Think again. Oh,
it
keeper
slowly,
of the pillows.
My friend. Slowly, but it comes.
And cookers of the dinner. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Website Lifehacker has a tip for how to deal with phone calls that you don't want to make. And it made me laugh because what does it say about us as a species that we look for ways to get out of talking to each other? I mean, it's
true.
That's what this
is. It's more true for you than me, but it is true.
Here's the hack. You've got to make a phone call that you don't want to make.
Right.
I don't know to who or for what reason, but we all have that phone call at least once a week.
You're calling somebody that has invited you to something you don't want to go, and you've made up something, and you're calling them.
You got RSVP or you got whatever it is.
Right.
Open the call with, hey, Bob, my phone is dying, so we can only talk for a minute, but, and then, like,
oh, that's
right
good. You know, I've actually done that, and I wasn't lying.
And when you've had enough, just hang up. It'll seem like your phone went dead.
You could do that.
You can't use this too many times with the same person.
With the same person, right.
Or they're going to buy you a charging cable.
Yeah. but that's right.
All I could think about was, wow, there are so many little tips and strategies to help us avoid communicating with each other.
There's another one, but it was outed by Bill Maher on TV a few days ago. And he's right when he said the thumbs up emoji means this conversation has ended. And it's true.
But wouldn't you rather get a thumbs up? And I get the thumbs up from you when we text. Wouldn't you rather get a thumbs up and know that we're done here?
I would.
Than to feel like
you have to go on and on and on.
Something should happen now.
Yeah. Oh, I know that was fun, but maybe we'll have an even better time next time. Thumbs up. I don't want to have to say, yeah, I hope we do, and I'm sure we will.
One of my cats has weirdly human paws. The texture of his paws. Trust me, this isn't. This
where are we going here?
Oh, no, wait.
No, I
want to
hear this.
That was kind. Do you really want to hear this? Could you give me your man card?
This is going to be good. This is going to be cats with thumbs. This is going to be good. No,
the texture of Tiberius's paw pads is weirdly human. So when he walks across my phone or my iPad, he activates it. So my phone was sitting on my bedside table. And Tiberius walked across it and kind of sat on it. Long story short, he FaceTimed my daughter's old boyfriend.
And, what were they talking
well,
about?
Well, I wasn't in the room. Yeah. So, of course, I don't realize this is happening. I come back into the room like an hour later to get my phone off the charger. And there's a text message. And it says, hey, I missed your call. Something was weird about the connection. Well, yeah, because my cat's rectum was FaceTiming you because he was sitting on it.
Now, if you're hearing that as an excuse, if you're the ex-boyfriend.
But, you know, why would, like, your old girlfriend's mom be FaceTiming you?
You know what he's saying right now secretly to himself? You know, maybe I thought for a while I could have married her daughter. But I'm thinking maybe I got away. A lifetime of this, I don't know.
So I had to reply with, oh, you know how Tiberius has weirdly human paws. He must have done that by mistake. But how you doing? And now I'm in a conversation that this poor kid probably would do anything to escape from.
Can I be honest about FaceTime right now? I don't do FaceTime very often. So anything that I don't do very often, of course, it doesn't come naturally to me. So once in a while, I will FaceTime Mary by mistake. And if she's with like Lynette or somebody else, all of a sudden it pops up, Bob, you're FaceTiming me. Oh, and we're in the middle of something. And Lynette's right there listening to the whole thing. Oh, okay, I'm really sorry. And I'm trying to figure out how to just go somewhere outside of FaceTime. But I hear them laughing at me while I'm trying to figure it out. And it just makes me feel like such an idiot.
There was one afternoon that Karamia and I were driving together to dance. That's all we ever do. And you FaceTimed me. And Karamia said, Mom, it's a FaceTime from Chit Chat. And I said, because the phone was doing that. Brrr,
brrr. Yeah, yeah.
And I said, that is a pocket FaceTime. Chit Chat does not FaceTime. Why would he FaceTime me? And of course, the call connected. And we could see your phone. I don't know how you did it. Your phone must have been in your console. We could see your leg wearing khakis. And I could see your the steering wheel, and we could listen to what you were listening to. And we decided that we would.
By the way, I hate all three of those things.
We would leave the call up, and we were.
Oh, nice.
We were shouting at you. Karamia was going, Chit Chat, Chit Chat, it's me, it's Karamia, Chit Chat. And we were dying laughing. How you didn't hear our voices yelling up at you?
Next time, will you just hang up? Because it could get really embarrassing for me. And I worry about that all the time.
What would you be doing in the car that could be embarrassing?
Telling the nation how it needs to change.
There was a little bit of that.
See, because I'm not allowed to do that in my own house. And so if I'm in the car, I feel it's my safe place.
You were listening. You know? You were listening to the news. And at one point, Karamia yelled, language, Chit Chat!
That's real. People are thinking you're making that up, but no, that's true.
I know you don't.
Please turn that off next time. All right. This is how much I want you to turn it off. I'll pinky swear.
You'll pinky swear?
Yeah. You'll pinky swear with me?
You'll pinky swear? You're
just
initiating a pinky swear?
Oh, I'll pinky swear. Tell me you'll stop it.
Pinky swear, I'll turn it off next time. Oh, he initiated a pinky swear. Yeah. I'm buying a lottery ticket today.
Let the word go out, yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I'm just going to touch on this story here. Everything's in French, which is why I'm just going to touch on it until we can do a deeper dive, but I have to admit, I am darkly fascinated with François Verhoeven, the serial killer in France who was on the run from law for 30 years, but went ahead and made an appearance on a TV game show. A TV game show called Everyone Wants to Take His Place. Tout le monde veut. I can't even say it all. Anyway, he had been on the run from the police for 30 years. I don't even want to tell you all of his crimes, but there were 31 murders and all sorts of other terrible things, some of them involving children. They call him the Shameless Butcher. And a retired police officer, of course, happened to be watching. Yeah. Yeah.
So they knew what he looked like, well, even though maybe it was an old picture.
They knew what he looked like 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So he made no attempt to hide his identity. And I think you would agree with that when you see that he went ahead and showed up on a TV game show. Police had a DNA profile. He pretended to be a police officer. And that was how he was able to lure his victims. Then he, it's shocking when you see it. And I'll tell you the most shocking part, and I'd play the clip, but it's in French. The most shocking part is how relaxed and comfortable and jovial he was on the TV game show.
How old does he look now?
Oh, he's in his late, it was in his late 50s. So he's been on the run for, like I said, 30 years. And the police sketch that they had was, you know, from 1986.
Yeah.
So when you see this guy like smiling and joshing with the host and playing the game, you're like, oh God, this is one of these people that I say is a skin suit. Like, he's a person, but the soul didn't get installed.
Yeah.
He's just a walking skin suit. And we have
because he got away with it for that long, he felt he was invincible and he could do something as arrogant as that.
Yep. It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.